Hello and welcome to the Girls Fuel podcast. My name is Haley. I'm a registered dietitian and nutrition coach here to help you along your health and fitness journey by providing evidence and experience-based knowledge and, as always, full transparency. We have a lot to chat about today, so let's dive in. Today, I have an extra special guest on the podcast. We are joined by my friend and colleague, Alyssa Tyler. Alyssa is also a registered dietitian and a functional health coach. She has been practicing for over 10 years now with her online nutrition company, Alyssa Noel Nutrition. She really takes a very, very cool deep dive approach, rejecting the symptom treating mentality. There are no band-aids here on the Girls Fuel podcast, and she aligns with that so, so well. And she really focuses on the immune system and those responses and how they impact your internal health. So we're going to talk a lot about that today as we dive into the topic of acne. But Alyssa is a wealth of knowledge. I'm so excited to chat with her. In addition to her knowledge of immune system, gut health, and overall nutrition, she also owns a CrossFit gym in Florida with her fiance. Right? Fiance, are you married? Yes, fiance.
Yeah, fiance.
Yep. Oh my gosh. When is the wedding? Do you know?
Oh, no idea. Zero. Okay. Zero planning has happened.
I love that. I love that. But yeah. Alyssa also has literally no shame talking about poop and loves cats. So we're just going to have a wonderful time here. So Alyssa, thank you so much for joining me today. How is your day looking?
Thank you for having me. I'm really excited about this topic. This has been something that I had struggled with for such a long time. And just like you, so many people have reached out in terms of acne and other skin conditions. So I'm excited to dive into it and just kind of chat through all the do's and don'ts of acne care and what the root cause could possibly be.
Definitely. And acne, it's one of those things that it really does impact your whole life. It's hard to go out when you feel self-conscious and all of that. So I'd love for you to share a little bit more about your background with it. Like, when did you start dealing with acne, and what were some things that maybe you tried before you knew what to do?
What did I not try? I started getting acne probably in high school. I remember vividly like trying to sit in my bathroom and cake on foundation, concealer, like, and I have zero makeup skills, let me tell you. Like, doing makeup, hiding that stuff is not part of who I am. Like, I do not wear makeup on a daily basis. So I just remember being in the bathroom, like trying to cover whatever was on my face, trying to go to school, and so incredibly self-conscious the entire day, thinking everyone who I'm talking to is literally going to be staring at my face. And it continued, you know, despite going to dermatologists and trying different treatments. You know, I never did Accutane, you know, I never did like a very extreme, and my acne was not, it was not super severe. It was not cystic acne, but it was enough to really destroy my confidence for sure. So dermatologist visits over and over again without success, topical treatment, antibiotic related treatment. I tried Proactiv in college. I remember like walking to the post office or wherever the packages pickup was and like going home, like so excited to try my Proactiv, and nothing was working. It was just making my skin so dried out. And then I had this wonderful combination of like, oh, I have pimples and I'm also flaky. So yeah. It was just like a really positive time in my life.
It sounds that way. And now you know so much more than you did then.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what we want to dive into. So, you know, when you get clients or even with yourself that are struggling with this acne, whether it is related to hormones, whether it's cystic or just, you know, that normal acne, what are some starting steps that you'll take to identify the root cause? What are some big rock contributors?
Yeah. So the way that I was taught, because you had brought in the immune system. So the most recent course that I've taken was an immunology course. And the really interesting thing that he taught us, and it makes a lot of sense, acne on your face is gut related. Acne that's on your body is going to be more liver detoxification related. You definitely have hormonal components to acne, absolutely, but it's more so being driven by your gut and possible underlying infections. And it's so interesting, you know, tying, and you might have had similar experiences and absolutely probably similar experiences with clients that grew up having acne, and they tend to have those coexisting GI symptoms that are correlating with that at the same time. And it's never something that's talked about or brought up when you go to the doctor. We're really just taught topical treatments is what you need to try to do. And I mean, I have yet to come across one person with acne that does not have some kind of bloating, constipation, gassiness, something like that going on. So facial acne, gut component, hugely important.
I agree. And that's what I've seen with the majority of my clients as well. I never had much acne, but before I healed my gut, I did have other skin symptoms between dark bags under my eyes, just overall puffiness in my face. And a big thing for me was skin rashes and just random splotches and itchiness. So those skin things, in addition to things like eczema and psoriasis, those all have a direct correlation with the gut. I know both of us use the GI map, and there are those bacteria strains that are, or species that are shown in GI map. There's research to show the direct correlation with skin conditions, with histamine production, and just that impact on the immune system. So it's great that we have this way to identify the root cause. It's just about helping people get there, right?
Yeah, absolutely. The thing that we have to realize, if you want me to like chat more about this, is we have these barriers, right? We have the gut barrier, intestinal permeability. The skin is another barrier too. So there's so many neat correlations between gut and skin, because both of them are barriers. Both of them are part of what's called the Th17 immune system. And just like you can have leaky gut, you can have leaky skin. The gut has its own microbiome. The skin has its own microbiome. So there's so many connections. So everything that we have to do with the gut also correlates with needing to do with the skin and repairing those barriers.
And why does that damage happen? Why does somebody get pushed into this Th17 immune state? And maybe for our listeners that aren't familiar with what that means, give them a little bit of a debrief on the T helper regulation.
Yep, absolutely. So I'll start from the very beginning with our immune system. So normally we have an innate immune system. This is like your immune system that kicks on in the first 12 hours when you get sick. It's your recruitment of your white blood cells and all those other things like the monocytes and the neutrophils and everything that needs to happen in that initiation process to fight whatever pathogen you're coming across. Where we often start to run into problems is not initiation and recruitment of those white blood cells, but it's the resolution. So we have this what's called resolution failure, where we end up being maladapted into a specific dominant immune state. And there's a lot of different ones. We used to only have three. It used to only be Th1, Th2, and Th17. And after COVID, we've developed a lot more T helper cells, maladapted immune state, because unfortunately, it's not the most dominant immune system that prevails. It's the most adaptable. So individuals, depending on what is driving and causing that maladaption, they get stuck. They get stuck in these certain states. And when we're thinking about the Th17 dominant states, a lot of times what that person is experiencing is extreme food sensitivities. So maybe they never had sensitivities before, and all of a sudden they're reacting to all the food, and it's just not making sense. They have no idea what they're supposed to be eating anymore. They might have increased sensitivities to fragrances and chemicals. Maybe even the smell of food makes them super nauseated. You're going to see a lot more skin reactions in this state. So you'll see a lot more psoriasis and eczema, acne, because of that leaky skin that's going on. And this is also very much an autoimmune state. So because of that intestinal permeability, we're seeing a lot more diagnosis of autoimmune conditions. So that's kind of like the basic classification of Th17. And there are three things that predispose you to an autoimmune disease, and that's genetics. So having genetic SNPs or genetics from your parents having it, leaky gut, and then stress and trauma. And what's interesting with Th17 is that intestinal permeability is linked with Th17, but when someone has a lot of stress, they're producing what's called specific cytokines. IL-6, which is interleukin-6 in specific, pushes you more and more into Th17. It's just one of those things that gets produced very quickly under periods of stress. So having a combination of stress, we know stress weakens the intestinal lining. We are just this beautiful chaos of being stuck in Th17.
That was a really, really great explanation. I feel like you broke it down very simplistically, and you did a post on this or talked about it on Instagram the other day. And that's where we can bring this back to a lot of these things like food sensitivities and intolerances. Even we can go as far as saying autoimmune diseases, they are symptoms. They are symptoms that there is like an alarm going off in your body, right? And this Th17 dominant state is very inflammatory. So that's where, you know, like you mentioned, genetics, there's not a ton that we can do about that, except support our body, support the different barriers, support the stress. I like to think about it as your stress bucket, you know, support what goes in and what comes out. And, you know, push yourself out of that state with diet and lifestyle. So is that kind of where you'd start with somebody who is presenting with Th17 and acne is starting with some dietary changes?
Yes, part of it, 100%. So when someone is pushed more towards Th17, there's absolutely things from a dietary standpoint that have to be done. There are certain lifestyle things that can be done. And then there are certain supplements that we want to make sure that we drive the immune system in the right direction. Someone can have acne and it's not Th17 though. They can have acne and it's actually Th2 or Th9, which is more of a mast cell histamine related response. So that's where asking the right questions can kind of help. If someone has allergies, it's Th2. If someone has histamine related reactions, but mostly skin, hives, things like that, but no allergies, it's Th9. And then Th17 is kind of what we've already talked about. So from a dietary standpoint with Th17, there's a lot of sensitivity to undigested proteins in specific. So undigested proteins are going to be things like collagen, unfortunately, and someone will take collagen peptides. And if you have leaky gut, you're going to be super symptomatic by taking it. Proteins that are in dairy and gluten, unfortunately, again, because we're never wanting to remove this stuff entirely for the long term, but temporarily, we have to remove the gliadin in gluten and the whey and casein that's in dairy. Those are going to be things that are going to really disrupt and bother the gut lining. So a lot of times we have to remove them temporarily. Lectins as well tend to be one of those things, lectins, nightshade vegetables. These are kind of correlating with like autoimmune in general. So from the dietary standpoint, that's what I focus on first. Intermittent fasting is actually extremely beneficial for these clients. So we might experiment with some of that and really making sure that their stress levels are controlled 100%, because that cortisol plays a big role. And getting sunlight to help regulate the circadian rhythm, really just healing process in the production of histamines. Histamines are good to get from the sunlight as long as they're not having histamine reactions, but those are some of the more lifestyle dietary related things. When it comes to how to drive the appropriate part of the immune system, we have to think about what's happening in Th17. So as we're removing those foods, we have to be focusing on the appropriate repair of the leaky gut. So we might be interjecting with certain supplements that are going to help with gut lining repair. I do not give supplement recommendations, specific supplement recommendations on podcasts or with people that I do not know. That's going to be an individual basis, but there are certain products that do help with gut lining repair. We have two choices when it comes to Th17. One is going to be suppressing the immune system and driving towards what's called T regulation, which is basically shutting off those dominant immune system reactions. So if someone has autoimmune and an overactive immune state, we are wanting to suppress that immediately. So T regulation shuts things off. However, what you will soon discover if you do have an underlying infection and you try to shut off the immune system is that those symptoms are going to come with a fury. So if your problem is, I cannot fight this infection, we have to actually drive a completely different immune system, which is Th1, your infection fighting immune system. And so this is where, again, very similar to probably your mentality, doing one-time consults with someone and just telling them to kind of guess, and this is what we need to do. We don't know. We don't know what route the immune system is going to take. Is this a positive drive or is this a drive in the wrong direction? So getting those consistent clues from your clients and how they're reacting is extremely beneficial to even know if you're driving that immune system the right way.
I agree. And I like how you said you don't recommend supplements online. I won't, unless it's like a basic vitamin that won't, right. won't hurt anybody, because like you mentioned, there are probably a dozen plus supplements that we could possibly use depending on the client. It depends on so many variables. It depends on your history. It depends on your stress levels. It depends on your environment, your diet, all of these different things. But the important thing I feel like to take from a lot of this is acne is often a symptom. It is usually not, you know, the biggest rock. Oftentimes when we see somebody come to us with acne, there is something bigger going on, whether it is mainly gut related, autoimmune, or just purely, you know, poor lifestyle, where I find that's where it starts for a lot of us. And I've been there, so I'm not blaming anybody, like take care of yourself, because I think we've both probably been there where we can directly see, oh yeah, all of these habits that I had for so many years were the reason why I ended up with candida, were the reason why I ended up with tanked cortisol and acne and all these different symptoms. So that's where, you know, instead of taking that symptom band-aid approach, you want to take a step back and take that big assessment of, well, where am I now? You know, what does my history, even familial history, that's very, very important to get from a client in the beginning if you're a coach, because if your client, their family has autoimmune conditions and they maybe have symptoms but aren't diagnosed yet, that might be a clue. So that you can tell, well, one, where is their immune system coming from? Where is it driving? And two, you can recommend that they go to their doctor and get that correct testing to know for sure. But I like that you really approached it from diet and lifestyle there, Alyssa. And for these people that are just starting taking more of a functional and holistic approach to their acne, are there any big red flags as far as, you know, skincare ingredients or products that we should avoid? I feel like a big topic right now is the endocrine disruptors. Everything is an endocrine disruptor. So are there any big ones that you're like, hard no?
Yeah. So in terms of certain ingredients, yeah, I mean, that can be something that's, I don't know the top of my head, like the certain ingredients, but if you use the Clean Skin app to the EWG app and kind of look at the product that you're using, it'll give a specific rating of whether or not it's clean, whether or not it contains these toxin containing ingredients. I am very, very particular about what I put on my skin, as well as how much I put on my skin. And I think one of the biggest things that I personally did wrong when I had acne growing up, obviously one was I was not addressing the root cause of my acne, but two, I was over-treating the heck out of it. I was applying so many different, like my skincare process was ridiculous. I was cleansing, I had toner, I had like my antibiotic cream, I had my moisturizers. If I had acne, I was doing spot treatment on the pimples. Like I was trying absolutely everything to treat it, regardless of the quality of what I was using, how much of it. Like imagine what I was doing to my skin barrier. Overuse of products, which can be really, really tough when you want instant results. That is the number one thing that can actually alter your skin's pH. So just like your gut has to have a lower pH for that acidity, your skin has to follow the same suit. Your skin has to have a lower pH. So when we're applying products after products and overusing and over scrubbing, we're actually altering the pH of our system and also just destroying that barrier that protects against getting certain yeast overgrowth and bacterial overgrowth like Staphylococcus that is very common to get on your skin. So definitely look into the quality of products with a really good app like this, the Clean Skin app. Is that Skin Deep? Sorry, I was saying the wrong thing. The Skin Deep app. And then make sure that you're not over-treating. I personally love ClearStem. That's been like my jam in terms of products. I don't, not endorsed by them. I just love them. That's what I've found. It took me a long time to find something that works for me, and what works for me might not work for you. I'm also very, very particular about what I clean my face with. Please do not use washcloths. Mm-hmm. Washcloths are going to harbor so much bacteria. Please do not dry your face with the very same towel that you use to dry the rest of your body. It's going to have, and I did that for a number of years until I was like called out on it. And like,
oh, I do that. Not gonna lie, I do that, but knock on wood, I've never had any issue with my skin. Yeah. My skin barrier is rocking, but now I'm like, oh gosh, maybe I won't do that anymore.
I just think of all the possibilities of where bacteria can harbor, like on your pillowcase and on your towel. So I use the Clear Skin Club, like towelettes, single use. Is it the best thing for the environment? Probably not, but it's making sure that I'm not spreading that bacteria because acne is going to have a huge bacterial component to it.
Definitely. And I like how you said, you know, we can't expect a quick fix. You can't expect your acne to go away overnight. That's where I find, especially if you're not working with a coach, keeping like some sort of diary for yourself, similar to how you would with food or like with bowel movements, if you're trying to track trends, and especially giving yourself a couple of months, right? I have found with my clients that have acne, if we're doing the right things to heal their gut, calm their immune system, it will take months and they will slowly start to see improvements, improvements, improvements. And then eventually, you know, usually we'll be able to resolve it. So that's where, you know, keeping a diary and also being aware of other factors that are going on in your life. Like, did you have a major stressor happen? Did you lose your job? Did you just have a crazy week because all your kids were sick? All of those things are going to influence how your body responds. And there's not always anything major you need to do about it besides just give yourself some space, right? Give yourself some grace. But let's talk about, you know, what's the difference or how can we differentiate between hormonal acne that changes with our cycle and just regular acne that, like you mentioned, might be more gut or liver driven?
Yeah, that's a really good question because I always have people reach out and they're like, this is hormonal acne that's going on. And it's not that I disagree that hormonal acne can be a real thing, but I also have to think about what is driving those hormones to be off in the first place. That, and there is such a huge gut hormone connection, gut hormones, liver, blood sugar, like there is a domino effect of things that's going on here. And even when we think about the component of estrogen dominance, and we have this estrobilome connection between the gut and our estrogen levels, we have to think about, all right, what is causing that estrogen to be high in the first place, leading them to have some of this acne? Is their estrogen being driven higher because their liver detoxification is an issue? Is their estrogen being driven high because it's a candida infection and candida spikes up estrogen? So is that acne on our chin really hormonal, or is it still being from some type of gut infection? So that's one component of it. The second thing, when we think of like androgens in specific, like testosterone dominance, specifically like 5-alpha reductase, if anyone is familiar with a Dutch test, that is highly driven by inflammation. It's highly driven by blood sugar imbalances. So if someone's blood sugar is consistently high, you're going to drive more of that 5-alpha reductase pathway, which is the testosterone dominant, androgen dominant pathway, where we see increased sebum production and oily skin and increased acne. So it's not, yes, the androgens are to blame because that is what is increasing sebum production, increasing even more bacteria from mixing with that sebum, but also what is actually driving those androgens to be higher? Is it stress? Is the body fighting an infection and it's driving that higher and causing blood sugar dysregulation? So I still think it all ties back to inner infection and inner inflammation that are even affecting those hormones in the first place. I always treat gut before I treat hormones, yeah, but I also often treat liver and lymph drainage before I treat gut. So there's kind of this order of importance that has to happen, where that's where we dive into those questions with our clients to kind of figure out where do we need to start first?
Definitely. And I take a very similar approach. And it really does always come back to the gut. It does for almost everybody. And that's why I feel like we both take a very gut-centered approach. It's connected to almost everything, pretty much everything in the body. And it directly influences your hormonal balance. I mean, I'm sure you've seen this, where I've had clients where they come with horrible periods, painful, maybe even long periods of bleeding, heavy bleeding, clots, all of these things. And we get them pooping regularly and mm-hmm. they're golden in a couple of months.
Yeah. Because
the biggest thing that you can do is get yourself pooping every day. If you don't, that is when we have that estrobilum, that estrogen reabsorption, and we get some more of these hormonal symptoms. We get that liver slow down and nothing is detoxing the way that it should.
Correct.
And now, Alyssa, what are your thoughts on the use of medications like spironolactone to treat acne? That is something that I see, in my opinion, far too often.
Yes.
It comes with a whole slew of side effects that are not discussed.
Yeah. And I will say I was a user of spironolactone and it worked amazing. Definitely, definitely helped. However, now that I'm older and wiser about what this can have an effect on, I understand that it's not the best medication to use. And I very rarely recommend it with my clients because it is a band-aid approach. The purpose of spironolactone is not even for treating acne. It's a side effect because it does affect androgens, but it's not the purpose of it. It's a diuretic, which is why they are so particular about make sure your potassium's in a good spot because you're peeing a lot.
Blood pressure.
But yeah, it's not the mechanism behind spironolactone is bringing up that 5-alpha reductase again. It blunts that pathway. So it kind of acts as this 5-alpha reductase blunter as well as an aromatase inhibitor. So preventing that testosterone from converting into estrogen so that you're not having androgen dominance and you're not having estrogen dominance. So what we'll see happen with, and we're talking higher dose spironolactone as well as longer term dose, like over 100 milligrams, using it for extended periods of time, not just like a 6-month dose of it, your cycle's going to eventually be impacted by it. So if you're blunting that aromatization into estrogen, eventually your cycle is probably going to become really irregular because you're not producing the estrogen that you should be.
Your regular cycles, low sex drive, bad dryness. Estrogen is like our vitality. Vitality, whatever that word is, right? It keeps us,
we need
keeps
it.
Us young. It keeps us fertile. It keeps us feminine, essentially. So a lot of times I will help clients come off of that while supporting their detox systems to make sure that their aromatase activity is able to return to normal without a big, you know, backup in the system there. Because like Alyssa mentioned, you know, it can be helpful if used appropriately. And I think if you cycle off of it the right way, it can be helpful, but you have to consider that it might be tanking your hormones along the way.
Yeah, just good things to kind of keep in mind. Just be very aware of changes in your cycle and other things that are going on. You also have to think like the majority of our cases that we work with, we're getting them off of birth control. And spironolactone is one of those medications you do not want to get pregnant on because it's going to cause birth defects. So we have to be very, very careful about making sure our cycle can be timed and understand that fertile window, which it's going to interfere with.
Definitely. And this is where, you know, talking to your doctor, because this is not medical advice. We are not doctors, but we do have quite a bit of medical knowledge. Sometimes I joke with my boyfriend, I'm like, I'm going to go back to medical school. Cause just like you, I love those challenging cases. Have you seen the show Dr. House or House?
Yes.
I say this on every podcast. So you guys are probably so sick of hearing this by now, but whenever I get a new client or like one of my mentorship clients, we're doing like ghost coaching where I'm helping them figure out what's going on. I love putting all the pieces together, having the questionnaires, having the blood work, having the history and the conversations and connecting all of the dots. Cause that's really what it's about is finding that biggest domino and understanding, well, you know, why are you having acne? Why are you not having a sex drive? You know, why are these things happening? And I think our industry is helping women advocate for themselves and get to the root of things rather than just slapping band-aids on them. And I feel like this episode has been immensely helpful. So I would love, Alyssa, for you to kind of wrap us up here with a key takeaway, something that you want to remind our listeners of who might be struggling with acne and feeling lost in their skin.
Yeah. So just keep in mind, a lot of the stuff that we talked about is it's not always a topical treatment. So if you're doing these topical treatments, you know, same with like medications, different things like that. The purpose of this podcast is it's not a band-aid. We don't want to do those band-aid approaches. And that's all we're doing here is kind of masking underneath what's going on. Listen to your body. Listen to the other warning signs that it's telling you. Do you have gut symptoms? Is your cycle irregular? Are you feeling stressed all the time? Even if you experiment with certain things like removing dairy and removing gluten, why is it helping? Like, I want to encourage you guys to think deeper. And don't think that because you're going to the dermatologist and nothing is working, that there are no answers for you. That is the beauty of what we do for a living, is being able to help uncover what is going on at the core in your immune system. So that's kind of my takeaway, is don't give up hope. Because I remember being in that situation and feeling like nothing is going to help this. And it's a really, really lost, frustrating feeling.
It is. And that's where, you know, you can be your biggest advocate to never give up. I mean, I have a lot of clients that are moms, and I'm sure you do too. And for those of you that are moms or pet parents, think about how you advocate for them. You're not going to give up if your pet or your child is sick. So give yourself, you know, the same regard, the same amount of love. And both of our DMs, our inboxes are always open. So I'll be sure to include all of Alyssa's information in the show notes so you guys can give her a follow. And if you enjoyed this episode, please make sure that you subscribe. If you found it helpful, share it with somebody that might also benefit. And thank you so much for hanging out with us today.